yeshate chaya imam tamyam samvadama vayoho gyanaya gainatena aham ishtasyam iti me matihi. Lord Krishna said, I declare that he who studies this sacred conversation of ours worships me by his intelligence. Adyeshate, one who studies the Bhagavad Gita. There are so many topics for study. Children are sent to school, college, to learn, study so many things. Those things are generally of no ultimate use. The final examination comes at the time of death. And at the time of death, what I've learned in school will be useless. Death means that I have to leave this body. By the way, if you have a cell phone, please switch it off or silent. Death means I have to leave this body and I have to go to the next body. And according to the consciousness that I've developed in this life, I may go higher, I may go lower, or I may come back to work hard in human society. Or I may finally attain perfection and go back home, back to Godhead. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvataha chakva deham punar janma naiti mamiti sarjana. If someone understands Krishna tatvataha, factually, then chakva deham punar janma naiti. Upon leaving this body, he doesn't have to take birth again and continue in this miserable material world. Mamiti, he goes back home, back to Godhead. That means he passes the examination. His life is genuinely successful. After so many lifetimes, he's gotten this human form of life, and he's made it successful by Krishna consciousness. That's the real, the best use of human intelligence. This is a little too high, by the way. Someone have to make it slightly lower. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. A little lower still, it's too much. Just a little bit lower. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. How is that now? It doesn't seem... You can hear in the back, yes? Yeah, okay. You don't have to cause pain. Hare Krishna, you haven't changed it. It seems about the same. Did you make it lower? Hare Krishna? That's okay. We'll leave it like that. I didn't notice any change.
It seems to be louder.
It seems louder. Do you know how to work it? Hare Krishna. This is, of course, there's two things you have to know. You have to know Krishna and you have to know how to work the amplifier. Hare Krishna. That's genuinely lower. I think so. That's a little bit lower. But you can still hear those in the back row? I need your feedback in the back row. No, not loud enough. Okay, you have to turn it back up again. Give me a signal in the back, how is it? Hello, Hare Krishna. Good, bad, yes, no? Okay? Good? Okay. Tremendously responsive back row back there. Okay. Upon leaving this body, the success is not to come back. Because first thing is, we're thinking that probably I'll come back as a human being and continue where I left off. There's no such guarantee. Not at all. Not at all. There was some survey done, I heard, in America, that people were asked whether they believed in that there was a literal place called hell. And most people responded that there was no such place. And how many believe that there's a literal place called heaven? The results were a little better. People thought there could be such a place. And how many thought that after death they were likely to go to heaven? Pretty good scores. And how many thought that they were likely to go to hell? Hardly anyone. So those were their self-estimated projections. And if we were in a position to actually tally the real results afterwards, we probably would have found the reverse. That so many are going down to hell means there are hellish planets, or down to the lower species of life. The lower species of life is a hellish kind of. Imagine, I was doing something this morning and a little, not even a centipede, one of those little worms that thrive on roses came out. It's just a little strand of jelly. And it's crawling and it's crawling and it's eating a little bit of rose and it's crawling. And that's its life. In his previous life, he might have been professor or president of a country or the head of a big corporation, a philosopher, or a happy member of a family. And now in this life, he's a little piece of jelly crawling on a rose. That such a fate is available. And more frequent, there's that life, there's cat life, there's dog life, there's birds, trees, fish, plants, so many species. And for those who are not serious about the business of the human form of life, these forms of life are available. Those who are interested in eating and sleeping and sex and fighting, there are so many species where that's available. But the human life is meant for Brahmajigyasa, for spiritual inquiry, spiritual advancement. That's the actual business of the human form of life. So if we don't use the human life for that business, if we use it for the business of the cats and dogs, the business of the lower creatures, then next life we may get such a body, and then gradually have to crawl our way up to the higher species, one small lifetime at a time. And then come back and again possibly waste our life. So the Vedic literature directs us that we should use this life for the for that result which one can't get even by traveling throughout the three worlds. Sense gratification I can get in any species of life. Maybe as Indra, maybe as a germ. But this perfection of Krishna consciousness cannot be found anywhere in this material platform. That should be our business. That should be our business. So our intelligence should be turned toward that. The human life is distinguished by intelligence. Of course, other creatures have intelligence, but the human beings have advanced intelligence. Generally, the lower creatures, they have intelligence, but they use it for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. For the animal propensities. Prabhupada gave the example that there's a cat. Someone's keeping a cat. And in that person's home, there's some milk on the table. So the cat doesn't jump up and grab the milk. The cat waits till the person leaves the kitchen, then jumps up and gets the milk. And that's intelligence. But what is the intelligence directed toward? Toward eating. Toward eating. Or the bird is very intelligent, builds a very nice nest for sleeping or for sex. So the human beings also have the human beings have advanced intelligence, but they use it to advance in the same thing. They build a 65-story nest so that they can eat and have sex on 65 stories up. But it's the same business. It's the same business. Instead of fighting with claws, they fight with atomic weapons or other high-tech stuff. But it's the same business. So the human intelligence should be turned toward studying Bhagavad Gita. If we're going to study something, then why not study the most important subject matter? You go to university and there's a this department, or that department, an engineering department, a chemistry department, a bioethics department, a biotechnology department, or this department, so many departments of knowledge. And people attend these universities and they learn a trade, basically, how to monetize their skills, how to get some money. Maybe directly they're studying business, or they're studying something by which to make money, and then with money we can eat nicely, we can sleep nicely, we can have a good family life and be secure. But that's not the real subject matter for human life. That can be solved very easily. The cats and dogs are solving those problems without a university education. The human life is for spiritual realization, and these other things are secondary. Those things practically come automatically. If according to my karma I'm going to get money, money will come to me even if I never attend college. And if by my karma I'm meant not to make money, then in spite of all my university degrees, MBA, whatever, money will see me and run in the opposite direction. Or people go to the university, they study for so many years, and at the end, they're in debt. They go to the university, they get a business degree, and at the end, the result is that they tally up the spreadsheet, and they find that they're in debt, and it's going to take them 15 years to get out. Lord Krishna says, adhyatma vidya vidyanam. Among all kinds of education, I'm spiritual education. Other education is ordinary, not a very big deal. But this is real education. There's so many cats and dogs walking around with university degrees. They know something about politics, or they know something about this science or that branch of technology. They don't know how to control their senses. They don't know how to control the mind. They don't know who they are. They don't know what the purpose of life is. They don't know how to be happy. have an advanced degree in psychology and they don't know how to keep their husband or their wife. Then what's the use? Even for the ordinary affairs of this world, their academic education is no guarantee of practical knowledge. And for spiritual knowledge, it's useless. Maybe at the university they'll be introduced to some great books of knowledge and they'll study it as an academic subject matter. This was written in such and such year, and it's part of this genre of literature, and it's studied by these people, and it influenced those people, and blah, 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 blah. But the actual subject matter, they don't understand. They'll read Bhagavad Gita in this academic way, and they'll not understand. They'll be like, they're licking on the bottle of honey. There's a honey bottle, and someone's licking on the bottle. What taste will they get? So they're studying Bhagavad Gita as an academic subject matter, but they'll not understand. Even those who are spiritualists, if they're followers of the impersonalist school, they'll also not understand. Because Bhaktya mam avijanati yavanyas chasmitatvata. One can only understand Krishna through bhakti yoga, not simply by speculating in this way and that way. Even if they're in this way or that way, at least if they're turning their attention to Bhagavad Gita, something is there. But not very much. Because when they study according to the impersonalist approach, they're drinking milk mixed with poison. Bhagavad Gita's milk, or its nectar, amrita, gita amritam. But along with the nectar, they're getting poison from whoever it is they're hearing it from. Krishna is speaking, I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead, offer everything to me. And the commentator is speaking, don't offer it to Krishna, offer it to something within Krishna, something beyond Krishna, something other than Krishna. But then they become confused or misdirected. So therefore, the Bhagavad Gita should be studied. First of all, it should be studied. There's so many, even people are coming from India. If someone from elsewhere asks them, oh, you're from India, can you say something? Do you know Bhagavad Gita? Then either the person can honestly say, well, actually, I haven't read it. Oh, yes. Or else he can say, oh, yes. Yada yada hi dharma shaglani urpavati bharata. Paratranaya sadhunam vinashaya tribushkrita. Karmanye vadikara ste vahapale shukrita. Maybe three or four verses he knows. Whichever were the ones that appeared in the beginning of the Mahabharata episodes, those maybe he knows. And the other 700 verses of Bhagavad Gita are a mystery. But the Bhagavad Gita is meant, of course, it's not meant for Indians only. It's meant for the whole of human society. But certainly, Krishna appeared in India. Those who've been fortunate enough to be born in India or be born of Indian descent, they should read Bhagavad Gita. They should read Bhagavad Gita and take the advantage. The most valuable knowledge should not be left aside. It should be picked up. And the Bhagavad Gita should be read under the direction of a devotee. I attended some function one time in a college town in America, and there was a fairly substantial Indian community, so they were opening an Indian student center. And to open the Indian student center, they had young college students speak. One Hindu boy, one Christian boy, one Sikh boy, one Muslim boy. I think that's what it was. Four students. So the Christian boy said something about Christianity, Muslim boy said something about Islam, and the boy who was the most confused was the Hindu boy. He was trying to explain what the philosophy was, and his idea was that you work, but you don't care about the result. Karmanye vadikaraste, mahapaleshu kadash. That you work, but you don't care about the result. You're not interested in the result. But he couldn't make practical sense out of it. Here's a kid who's working for his graduate degree at a major American university, and you can be sure working really hard. And you're trying to tell me that you don't care about the result of your work? Huh? You're just there for the fun of it? Your family has spent so many thousands of dollars every year to send you to the university, and you're there just sort of being there and not doing the work and not caring about the outcome of your exams? So he was trying to explain this very difficult concept of how you work but you don't care about the result of the work, and he couldn't make sense out of it. He was like a boy tripping over his shoelaces because he wasn't trained in the science of Krishna. Anyone trained in the science will understand mahapaleshu kadachana means that the work is, the result is not for me, it's for Krishna. But not that I don't care. Karmanye vadikaraste, I have the right to do my work. Mahapaleshu kadachana, I'm not entitled to be the enjoyer of the ma karma palahetur bhur na te sangosva karmani. So what does it mean? It means it should be dedicated for Krishna. That I work, but my purpose is to satisfy Krishna. Then naturally I care about the result. But if I'm actually detached, then the result is ultimately up to Krishna. If Krishna desires, I'll be successful. If he doesn't desire, nothing can help me. I'll try as far as possible. The result is up to Krishna, and then the result is finally to be dedicated to Krishna. It means my whole life is to be dedicated to Krishna. My career, suppose I'm attending in the university, I get a nice degree, I get a nice job. So then that's not for my sense gratification. Now I have a nice job, let me build a big house, let me get so many things and enjoy. That's for a fool. What will you enjoy? And how long will you enjoy it? It means simply to be in illusion and spend my life in illusion and be finished with it, and go to the next body without knowing what I was doing in this life. So it should be dedicated to Krishna. The whole life should be dedicated to Krishna. Yes. So Adyeshtate means that one should study the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada went to one university, MIT. MIT is like IIT in India, or actually you can say the IITs are really modeled after MIT. So Prabhupada went to the celebrated MIT, and his message to the students was that you have so many departments of knowledge in your great university, but where is the department of knowledge to understand the difference between a living body and a dead body? When the body dies, something is missing. What is that something? And that you should study. What is the difference between the living body and the dead body? That means to understand the science of consciousness, to understand the science of the Atma, the science of the soul. Now that's there in Bhagavad Gita. That's actually the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita deals with more advanced topics also, but this is the beginning, to understand that I'm not this body. So adyeshate, one should study these things. Adyeshate chaya imam dharmyam sambaram avayo. This conversation concerns Sanatana Dharma, the eternal occupation of the living being. If I'm spirit soul, then what do I do